So our third figure in our tapestry series this summer is St. Monica of Agaste. And I'm glad that Monica was picked because she's often overshadowed by her son. In the whole history of Christianity, she is totally overshadowed by Augustine, who we discussed last week. And yet there's incredible lessons that Monica teaches us. In fact, she's the one that made Augustine. Right, and she in more ways than one, and so it's fitting that we devote some time just to her and the particular things that she teaches us about living the Christian life. Most of the things that we know about her come from Augustine's autobiography, The Confessions. I'm going to propose that the central thing we learn from Monica is that our life circumstances do not have to determine our purpose. That our life circumstances do not have to determine our mission. That it's possible by the grace of God to, in the words of the feast today, to ascend or to transcend difficult life circumstances. And if you know anything about Monica's life, you know what I mean. She was, of course, lived at a very different time, but she was married off at the age of 22. To a 40-year-old man named Patricius, a pagan man who did not share Monica's love of the Christian faith. And along with Patricius came Patricius's mother. And so Monica's entire life, she lived with the mother-in-law. It's also true that Patricius, according to the accounts of Augustine and Patricius's mother, were incredibly hot-tempered. And Augustine gives the sort of indication that Patricius at times was abusive. It was also well known that Patricius had multiple affairs throughout the course of their married life. Now, I want to make one thing clear before I talk about Monica's virtue, is that this was a very different time period. Monica didn't have choices in terms of leaving the relationship. So what I'm about to say is not advocating, right, staying in a relationship that's abusive, nor is it making an absolute statement on staying with someone that's been unfaithful, right? That has to be navigated on an individual basis, right? So I just want to make that clear that I'm not suggesting that. Monica lived in the 4th century, and it was a very different time. She had very few options with regard to staying in the relationship or leaving. But Monica didn't take those difficult circumstances of which she had no choice. She was arranged in a marriage at 22. Okay? I try to arrange marriages in CSA. I keep telling them part of the goal of the campus minister is matchmaker. But it seems all the relationships I match fall apart rather quickly. So I'll stay away from that fiddler on the roof concept. She had no choices in who she married, that the mother-in-law was living with them, and the fact that they really struggled with their beliefs. So when Augustine was little, he was very sick, and Monica asked Patricius, can we have him baptized because we're afraid he's going to die? And Patricia said, okay, fine. But as soon as Augustine got better, and luckily for us, he got better, Patricius rescinded the offer of baptism. And so you know, Augustine wasn't baptized into well his adult life by Ambrose in Milan. They struggled over faith. The other thing Monica struggled with was Augustine's waywardness. As we talked about last week, Augustine has two siblings, which are not often discussed. So Monica had and Patricius had three children. The other two, though, went into religious life at an early age. So Monica felt comfortable with their spiritual path. Augustine, as we talked about last week, went sort of in a different direction. And Monica was very fearful of where he was going. And so Monica's reputation comes when Augustine went off to Carthage and became a Manichaean, which was a sort of a philosophy of the time. Monica was very worried about this. She went to a bishop, right, and said, Bishop, I'm really worried about my son, Augustine. He's drifting from the faith. And allegedly, the bishop's response is how we still sort of remember Monica to this day. The bishop said, "The child of these tears will never perish. The child of these tears will never perish." Of course, that's true, we hope, eternally, right? But it's also true historically, as we're still talking about Augustine and Monica. That's where the notion of Monica as the crying mother that is seeking, right, the restoration of her children comes from. In fact, Santa Monica, California, is named after Monica because there are springs outside of the city that are symbolic of the tears that she shed over Augustine's waywardness. She followed Augustine around, as any good mother would, tracking him down in all these different locations, trying to bring him back into the church. Monica was fortunate to see the fruit of her harvest, the seeds that she planted. We don't often get to see that, but at the end of Patricius and Patricius's mother-in-law's life, they converted to Christianity in the last year of their lives. And we know, of course, Augustine also came around to Christianity. And so Monica, at the end of her life, they were fighting as she was dying in the confessions. The siblings were fighting over what to do with her body. And Monica famously says, "I don't care what you do with my body. My work in life is complete. Just bury me wherever." And she says to Augustine, who is a priest, "Just be sure you remember me at the holy altar as you celebrate Mass. Remember me in prayer when I'm gone." Monica teaches us a number of things, but especially I think she teaches us that even given a difficult deck of cards, some of which she had no choice in, she was able to not let it get her down to the point that she couldn't fulfill the mission she felt like God was calling her to. And so I know in this church today we have people with life circumstances that are less than ideal, right? Maybe you are the one caring for your aging parents, and your siblings either don't care as much or have left the area. And so the burden of caring for your aging parents falls to you, and you struggle with it. You struggle with it. You know you should do it, but you feel guilty because you don't often want to do it. Maybe they even live with you, as Monica had to deal with. Maybe you are in a relationship that at times borders on antagonistic and possibly borders on abuse, and you're trying to figure out if this is really the other person or if this is just an aberration. You're trying to navigate that. Maybe you're in a relationship with someone who does not share your faith. Maybe you're sitting in this church today alone precisely because your spouse or your partner will not come to church with you, or that you've had real battles on the moral and spiritual education of your children. And I should say, probably on this one, not maybe, probably you have children or grandchildren who no longer practice the faith. Right? If somebody, I'm not going to say what age, but over a certain age, sets up an appointment with me, I presume 99% of the time it's for them to lament that their children or grandchildren are not coming to church. That's probably the number one thing I hear, right? Even when I do hospital visits on, "What do I do, Father?" We know that, as Monica did. Maybe you have financial limitations and you've been dealt a difficult deck of cards with finances. Maybe you're in a job that you really can't stand, but it's putting food on the table. And you're trying to figure out, do I pursue a job that I love, that pays less, or do I just grind this out because it helps my family? There are all sorts of situations in life in which we either, because of our own choosing, and often not because of our own choosing, have difficult life circumstances, complexities and difficulties of life and relationships and job. And Monica teaches us that those things don't have to define us. That we can still be spiritually content, spiritually satisfied, and have a higher sense of purpose and mission, even when the everyday circumstances of life are not how we would draw them up to be. Because let's face it, no life circumstances are ideal, right? If you fantasized about what your life should be, right, generally we're not living it. The point is, often our life circumstances are far from ideal. And yet we're called to often, and again, I'm not suggesting we have to remain in bad relationships, but often we are called to stay there and to make the best of it. And Monica did that in her life, despite a difficult marriage, living with an in-law that clearly was difficult, kids that were not practicing the faith, a husband that didn't share her faith, all sorts of things that made her circumstances different, and she ascended those. She transcended them, knowing that she had a higher purpose that could be true even if her life didn't always go as planned. And so as we look at our own lives and notice those less than ideal things, we continue to persevere in the image and the intercession of St. Monica, who teaches us a great deal of just everyday practical Christian living. So let's pray for her intercessions with the particular struggles that we have in our lives. So we pray together, St. Monica, pray for us. Mm-hmm.